Welcome to Porg Chatter. My name's Sarancho. I'm your host, as usual. It's the world's only podcast all about the Porgs from The Last Jedi. It's the world's only podcast that I'm already sick of doing. We're at episode 3. With me, as always, my beautiful co-host. Say hi.
Hey, actually, we're in episode 4.
Oh, shit. Is this really episode 4?
Yeah, you sound like you don't want to do this.
I'm upset at today's topic.
Okay.
We'll get to that in a moment. We'll get to that soon. But first things first, we have our first piece of fan mail from Porg Chatter here. It's from Chris Porg. Sorry if you want to remain anonymous. But I'm going to open it right now. Get that ASMR opening right there. You seen any of those ASMR videos?
It doesn't work on me.
I'm following this one account now on Instagram called Sandtageous. I don't know what it is, but it's just people cutting wet blocks of sand, and it sounds real good. It makes this real, like, noise.
Do you mind if I, Zwick, if you could maybe put in some of those sounds right now, just so people can kind of hear it. Sorry to interrupt.
That's okay. And now we're taking some ASMR for you, everybody watching. I'm going to gently take the tape off of the styrofoam. And oh my god, its wings are intact. Look at it. Describe what I'm holding.
Holy moly. She is holding a 3D printed pork.
Oh my god, it's so cute. It doesn't have pupils, but it's still very cute. How did he do that? How did he get the little tongue? Look at the little tongue.
There's a tongue inside the mouth.
Yes.
Would it be fair to say that this porg is making the expression, and also its wings are slightly akimbo? It looks to me like this porg is witnessing Chewbacca about to eat a roast pork. Is that true?
I think it's either that or it's the porg, you know, when they're on the starship and the porg is like, "Rah!"
What? Which time?
The first time when he jumps on the dash and screams and Chewbacca pushes him away.
Oh, I love that. Wait, that's when Chewbacca roars and then the porg roars.
Yes.
That's pretty good.
Welcome to ASMR Cast. We're going to do this tape one more time. Ready? Money shot. Thank you very much, Chris. I love it. I'm going to name it. I haven't thought of a name yet, but I love it.
You want to try coming with them on now?
Yeah, ready? Diet Dr. Pepper.
Okay. Is there any particular reason why you suggested that name?
Because I have a Diet Dr. Pepper about 3 feet away from me.
Okay. I mean, it's your pork. I don't want to tell you what to do with your pork.
The note says it's for both of us.
Oh, really?
Enjoy your plastic pork, fuck Maddox.
Oh, wow.
Is what the note says. Agree on both accounts. I love this pork. He just blocked me from Twitter last week. Not a week after I put everything on the line. I put it all on the line, Asterios, and complimented his Twitter. Didn't I fucking say that I like his tweets?
I don't remember this.
Remember we were in the car driving to Long Island talking about fucking whatever for a 5-minute podcast.
Uh-huh.
And we had to compliment the guy. And what did I fucking say? I said I liked his tweets. And not a week later that no good deed goes unpunished. I'm blocked.
Are you actually upset about this?
No, fucking course not.
Okay, because you seem mad.
I'm mad that I look like a dummy now because I risked it all. Serious, I put it all on the line.
Okay, well,
I don't give two shits about his fucking Twitter.
Okay, I'm not allowed to talk about this person. You can say all you want. Just, you know, for legal reasons, I kind of have to, you know, keep it.
Of course. And these views are my own, not Asterios's. He didn't plan this. He didn't know what I'm going to say. You don't know shit.
Well, you know what? I'm not going to argue with you. Thank you for giving me some legal distance from your commentary.
I'm an Article 4 sovereign citizen. I am not being detained. I don't have to follow any of your laws, but I do get all of the privileges of an American citizen. I do not need a driver's license to operate a motor vehicle. Black Law's dictionary defines a crime as there have to be an injured party. And what is it? Tunkey versus Ohio stated that traffic infractions are not crimes. So you have no right to search my vehicle. I do not consent to a search. Wait, what are you getting that baton out for? Man, you didn't have to smash my window. Look it up. You don't know your own laws. You're getting fired. Your supervisor's getting fired.
I will be honest. I have never watched one of these.
Oh, dude, you gotta watch this.
It really, just the thought of it upsets me.
What, sovereign citizen videos? Why? Or this the concept of someone thinking they're a sovereign citizen?
No, I mean, people can think whatever they want. Like, it's just because those sovereign citizens, and for people who don't know, I don't know, there's some sort of thought virus out there where American citizens think that they are not subject to laws that they don't want to be subject to.
They think that, I haven't researched this fully, but they believe that for some reason they get to choose to follow the Articles of Confederation instead of, you know, the Constitution.
Really?
That we have. Yeah, and apparently Article 4 of the Articles of Confederation state that, like, it gives a lot more power to the individual instead of the police. But unfortunately, we don't follow the Articles of Confederation anymore.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure we, like, upgraded that to the Constitution. I mean, the thing that bothers me is, all right, so, like, you're a mentally ill person, if you believe this. So, like, there are these mentally ill people, and they're driving around, and they're just thinking, I can do what I want, I'm a libertarian, blah, blah, blah. And then they are confronted with, like, the cold, hard fist of reality. And if you're one of these Article 4 people, all day you're saying to yourself, oh boy, if a cop ever does anything or says anything, I'm going to say this and that and pull out my pocket constitution. And then it's like, that's not how interactions with the cops work. Like, pretty much whatever they want to happen is going to happen.
Yeah.
And so it just bothers me, like, that there are these mentally ill people. You know, it's kind of like if someone's like, oh boy, I'm going to make myself a baseball bat. I'm going to whittle my own baseball bat. I'm going to find the right piece of wood and then plane it and sand it. I'm going to lacquer it and smooth it. And then the moment they go to bat, their bat just cracks and shatters in their hand. And they're like, I spent 8 months on this bat. I just feel bad.
And you know those motherfuckers are driving around all day like, yeah, I'm right. They're wrong. Oh, man, I'm going to stick it to the cop. And they think they're right up until, like, the window gets smashed. That's, and they get
yes. And the moment the window gets smashed in, it's like all of your words are meaningless. All your thoughts and opinions are meaningless. This is happening. And then, like, you're put in jail and you're screaming about, like, the Geneva Conventions. Like, somebody called the United Nations. Like I'm a sovereign citizen. And it's just like, it doesn't matter. And then you go up in front of a judge. One of the things that Sarancho loves is reading crazy people trying to sue. Which, yes, is, again, this is unrelated to anything that may be currently happening at all.
No, it actually is. I know this could be a joke, but the one that I'm watching right now is the dude that is threatening to sue Taylor Swift for $100 million federally because she... I guess I've tried so hard to understand this guy's legal theory because he's a paralegal, so he's filing all his own documents. He wrote an entire book about it, which I've read multiple times, called Why I Sued Taylor Swift.
What's this guy's name again?
Russell Greer.
Okay.
He openly admits that he tried to sue Taylor Swift to try to get her attention. You can't do that. You're not allowed to do that.
And yet, this guy does it. And does it, and does it again. And I remember one time, Sarancho was reading me, like, a transcript of a judge being like, can you please stop doing this? I'm trying to help you.
No, and the judge was, he tried to sue Ariana Grande recently because he went to an Ariana Grande concert. And have we talked about that? I feel like we've definitely talked about this on a 5-minute podcast or something.
Well, I mean, our whole lives are podcasts now.
Yeah, okay, well, I'm going to go over it again for anybody that isn't up to date on this. So he tried to sue Ariana Grande because he bought backstage passes to her concert, right? First of all, he's suing in small claims court in Utah, which fucking lol. Like, small claims court in Utah has any power over Ariana fucking Grande. So he goes to this concert, and I guess he paid for, like, a special package or something where you got to meet her backstage afterwards. And one of the things that were included was a photo with her. And the, of course, the stipulations, there's a bunch of stipulations. You can't bring gifts for her, but this motherfucker does it anyway. He brings flowers and a scrapbook, which I don't know exactly if they immediately went to the trash or if he wasn't allowed to give it to her or if she gave it to her and then she dumped them or whatever, but that was part of the rules, that you were not allowed to bring gifts for her. So he gets a photo with her, and he's... the photo is bizarre. Look it up on Kiwi Farms or something. But he's standing there, staring at the camera, and Ariana Grande's got her hand on his shoulder, kind of doing like a cool, like, yeah, like, what's up kind of face, right?
Uh-huh.
So he goes home, he posts all about on Facebook, like, oh, dreams do come true. Love Ariana Grande. Just gotta wait for her to respond to my invitation to write music for her, which obviously she doesn't. So then his tune changes as soon as he finds out that that she's not going to contact him to become a songwriter, despite the really cool gifts that he was not supposed to give her, but gave her anyway. So then he starts saying, Ariana Grande discriminated against me, and he cites, like, the Americans with Disabilities Act, like he has the right to fuck Ariana Grande, and if she says no, it's because she's discriminating against the disabled. But,
well, I think the discrimination is... All right, so she's making, like, a cool guy face, which... God knows I could never replicate in my life. He's claiming that that face is mocking his disabled face, right?
He's claiming that he never accuses Ariana Grande of discriminating against him. He accuses her security, and for some reason he's suing Ariana as the employer of the security. He says that the security, like, asked him if he was intoxicated and were making fun of him or something. I don't know what the fuck that has to do with Ariana Grande, but they're not suing... He actually was not suing Ariana for discrimination. He was suing her for, quote, looking down on him, which, who know? Am I supposed to know what the fuck that means? Especially if I'm a federal judge. And someone in Utah went to go see this go down in court, mm-hmm. and hand wrote a transcript of it, and it is one of the funniest goddamn things in my entire life, because this judge was he goes in there, he's like, first of all, the dude is late to his own court trial, and the first thing he says is, they're about to leave. They're about to go outside. My favorite lawyer on the face of the planet, I'm sorry, Nikki Rackus, this guy's name is Greg motherfucking Scordas, shows up, who is also the lawyer for Taylor Swift, by the way. So this is the second interaction that Russell Greer has had with Greg Scordas in a court of law. And meanwhile, Greer is posting all this shit in his Facebook, like, I'm gonna kick Greg Scordas' ass, there's gonna be blood in the courtroom, all this stuff. So when he shows up half an hour late, they're almost ready to close the books, and this judge gives him time to explain, and he's like, first thing out of his mouth is, why are you late? And he's like, oh, I had it in my phone as 1:30. Here, do you wanna see? The judge's like, I don't wanna look at your phone, sit down. My favorite part of this whole thing is, and then Scordas brings in screenshots from his Facebook, like, why are you threatening to murder me on your Facebook? And the judge is even like, you're on some shit. You can't be posting shit like this and coming into my courtroom. And then Greer is like, where did I say that? This is my fucking favorite part of this whole thing. I implore everyone listening to this to go look up that word for word transcript. He says something like, no, I never posted that. And the judge says, yes, you did post that. And he's like, where are the screenshots? And the judge says, are you saying that you didn't post it? And Greer says, where are the screenshots if I did post? And the judge says, for every 1 minute that I have to spend looking for these screenshots, if I do find them, you will spend 1 minute in a county jail.
Wow. So, of course, the judge pulls up the screenshots.
Yeah, no, and then he folds, because that scares him.
Okay, good.
But it is Nutter Butters, and now he's threatening to sue Taylor in Tennessee for $100 million for not putting disclaimers on her publicity stunts which I guess she's supposed to, I don't even know what that's supposed to mean, because he had a fucking disclaimer. They told you not to bring gifts to the Ariana Grande thing. You didn't listen.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that, like, a woman worth $100 million has a lawyer that's going to put a disclaimer or two on shit that'll stop an idiot from fucking with them. You know, it's sort of like the best and worst part of our legal system that a crazy guy's complaint about Ariana Grande and someone's real complaint about a real problem are given equal weight and time in the courts.
Yeah, sorry, battered women. Russell Greer's here to face the real, Jesus. Bring to light the real problems facing America, which is not getting his dick wet with pop stars.
Oh my God. Now, how do you think Porgs would solve their conflicts? Like, do you think they'd set up like a little courtroom with rocks, or would they hug it out? I mean, you're the Porg expert.
I think they would peck each other. Oh, wait, no, they don't have beaks. Shit. Well, that changes everything.
I mean, the Porg you're holding in your hand, which was, again, made by a man named Christopher Porg, does not have a beak.
It's so cute.
It has an adorably open mouth, as if it's screaming that the Millennium Falcon has just entered hyperspace.
I love you, Dr. Pepper.
Okay, so you are officially naming the Porg Diet Dr. Pepper.
No, just regular Dr. Pepper.
Okay.
I love you, Dr. Pepper. You're so cute.
Oh, my God. May I?
Of course.
Okay, hold.
I'm not throwing it.
No. And you know what? I would never ask you to. I'm going to walk over there as gingerly as a surgeon.
All right, while you're walking over here, I'm going to talk more about Russell. He wants disclaimers on his... I don't know. I don't care about this anymore. Talk about Porg. It's wet. Cut that out.
You can even see the Porg's teeth. Its individual little teeth under its tongue. The roof of this Porg's mouth has been rendered. This is so goddamn cool.
So much time was spent on this. Thank you, Chris. Love it.
Oh my good. And you know what? You said this Porg doesn't have pupils. I mean, isn't this what Porg's eyes look like?
They got little whites.
Right. Okay, granted. But these are still very well rendered eyes.
It's a fantastically rendered Porg. I never thought he would get that much detail in it, especially the little tongue. I'm amazed by the little tongue.
We have to set up a photo shoot of this Porg. Okay, so listeners, I mean, we will find a way to get you a pic. If you look in the show notes for this episode or the info or whatever it is, there will be a picture of this adorable Porg. But again, I don't like to think that Porgs have conflict. I like to think that, I mean, clearly they exist in a world with no natural predators, which is why they don't know what to do when Chewbacca shows up.
Right.
Which is why they try to hug him and hang out with him, even though he's murdered two of them, at least on camera. Maybe they hug it out. Maybe they all get in a cuddle puddle until no one's mad anymore.
Do you think that Porgs sleep standing up or laying down?
I think that they probably sleep in one big ball. And they probably take turns in who's like in the middle of the ball where it's warmest and who's on the outside of the ball.
Aww.
That's what I personally think. Because Porgs are also kind of light. Like if I were Porg, Octo seems like a windy isle. Like, wasn't Octo like was it Scottish Island or where did they actually shoot it?
I think it was up, or I assume it's up near Iceland because that's where puffins are and they're based off of puffins. But, I don't think that Porgs, I want to get in, this is another whole episode topic, but I think that Porgs are not actually that light. I think they're heavier because they've got very dense muscles that they use for swimming. Okay. As we've seen before, they can fly, but they can also do controlled dives into the sea. Mm-hmm. And penguins can't fly because they are they got so much muscle. Mm-hmm. That they need to swim with. So I think there'd be a conflict of physics.
Mm-hmm.
Going on with Porgs, just because I don't know if they are light enough to, it's like the beginning of the Bee Movie. A bee should not be able to fly with his wing to fat little body ratio.
You love things with fat little bodies.
I do.
The other night, I don't know if I've mentioned this on Porg Chatter before, but the other night, Sriracha was talking in her sleep, and she went, look at their fat little bodies.
Was I dreaming about Porgs?
Yes, and then I asked you, I went like, honey, are you dreaming about Porgs? And you go, yes. And then you just fell back asleep. I'm surprised that you would reference B-movie. I don't know. I just wouldn't expect you to know that much about B-movie.
I've seen B-movie more times than I'm comfortable admitting.
I'm sorry, what?
I've seen B-movie more times than I'm comfortable admitting.
Okay, Zwick, hopefully you can pan down that audio for that hilarious joke. I went to the pretty much like one of the largest movie screens in America, the Cinerama Dome in Los Angeles.
Oh, wow.
And on opening night at 11:59 p.m. on a Thursday, me and my friends Joan and Jeffrey saw a B-movie. Because my friend Joan was very excited about B-movie. Much like you, she's like a living meme. And she's like, this is going to be terrible. I can't wait. The other movie that she made us see at midnight on a Thursday was the Santa Claus 3. Is that the Escape Clause?
I think that might be the Escape Clause.
Yeah, that's the one where with Jack Frost.
Yeah.
Who is fantastic. Because at one point, like, I think Michael Dorn, who plays the Easter Bunny, who's also the actor who played Worf in Star Trek, goes like, you're being willful and malicious. And then Jack Frost goes, excuse me, did you just accuse me of being skillful and delicious? I love that scene.
Cringe. I went to go see Bratz, the movie, the live action. Did that come out in theaters, or am I thinking something else?
No, Bratz came out in theaters, all right.
I used to be real big into bad, terrible movies, but now I'm not. I don't like bad entertainment. I like things that are weird and crazy going on in real life, like Brody Cottage.
Yeah, or a guy suing a bunch of crazy people.
Suing a bunch of celebrity poons.
Jesus Christ, Sriracha. Anyway, here's another interesting thing about Sriracha.
Oh, I don't like the way you just said that.
The other day, okay, she loves porgs. She's holding a 3D printed porg, constantly tweeting about porgs, and has started the world's only porg-centric podcast, Pork Chatter. But the other day she goes, where do you think we could eat some puffin? And I go, I don't know. And I go, wait a minute, puffins are porgs. Because what they did was, apparently there was a sale and there was a bunch of porgs on it. There was a bunch of puffins on it. And they're like, ah, let's turn those things into porgs. And I'm like, why do you want to eat a porg? I thought you loved porgs. She didn't really have a good answer for me. So I guess I'll ask you now, do you still want to eat puffin?
I have eaten puffin already. It's something that has occurred. But to be fair, I ate puffin before the Star Wars movie came out.
Okay.
It's very good.
Mm-hmm.
Is very tender.
Okay.
I wish I could find a place that served it in New York. I don't know if you're even legally allowed to do it. Let me tell you, I ate it in Iceland. Let me tell you, anybody who's going to Iceland, Icelandic food sucks. Like, as a whole, it sucks. Like, if you miss out on the traditional Icelandic restaurant, don't feel bad because it sucks. But the two things that I had there that were really, really good were puffin and whale. And I had some kind of, like, puffin whale sashimi thing, and it was amazing.
Okay, that actually sounds really good.
It's real good because it's nice and like fatty, because they got the other fallow bodies got plenty of fat in them, and you get a little bit with that with the muscle, and oh, it's so good. I wish I could eat it again.
Yeah, it sounds just like bluefin tuna. But why do you want to eat the thing you love?
Nobody asks how porgs feel. They only ask how pork tastes. And I want to answer that question and get it out of the way so we could focus on how pork feels. They never say, they always say, okay, dumbass. They never say, are you okay, dumbass?
I think that might be the end of the episode, personally speaking.
We got a topic. We got a topic.
Oh, 25 minutes in, you want to introduce the topic?
Yes, because it's a topic.
Are you sure you don't want to save it for another episode?
Actually, let's switch the topic up a little bit. How could Russell Greer's life be improved with a porg?
You tell me.
Personally, I think that porg should make up the juries for every case ever.
Okay. Okay, so, all right.
Trial with peers? More like trial with porg. Because trial of your porgs.
All right, let's take this to its logical conclusion.
Okay.
On one hand, we have what is his name? Greg Skortis.
Greg motherfucking Skordis.
Okay, we have Greg Skordis, high-powered millionaire celebrity lawyer. On the other hand, we have Russell Greer, who is, for all and by all accounts, a man who looks physically disabled and is a vexatious litigant who lives in a fantasy world. So I guess they argue, blah, 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 Taylor Swift owes me this. Actually, that's completely insane. Nobody owes you anything. You signed this and this and this and blah, blah, blah.
And also you threatened to kill me in a court of law.
You threatened to kill me. You said there'd be blood in the courtroom. And now we cut to a bunch of porgs. They all file out. And they
waddling.
They waddle their way out. But one of them probably like bumps into another one like accidentally.
And they all fall over.
Yeah, exactly. Fall over like dominoes. That's great. And then, so they go into the deliberation room, 12 Angry Men style.
And they all just screech at each other and rip up the paper so there's feathers flying everywhere. And they're making nests out of the legal documents.
Uh-huh.
And then the judge is also a porg. And he's got one of those little powdered wigs on.
So it's a barrister. Okay.
Right, but the bailiff is a person. The bailiff comes on and says, has the jury reached a verdict? And the jury goes, rah! And then the judge goes, rah! And then everybody eats fish.
Even Russell Greer?
Well, no, he doesn't get any fish because he probably lost, even in this fantasy world where the judicial system is run by porgs.
By an odd alliance of humans and porgs, because there's a human bailiff.
Yeah, and also because Greg Skordis studied porg law in when he was a 3L.
Okay, a highly specialized subset of bird law.
Correct.
Understood. Wouldn't everything be better if our civil institutions had at least a porg component? Like, imagine this. There's two cops on the beat. One is a tough-talking veteran who smokes two packs a day and is on his third ex-wife. The other, an adorable porg wearing a little police cap.
Oh, he's got a little tie on.
Yes. And, okay, now, and then the porg has a badge. Obviously, it doesn't have, like, a pushpin badge. It probably has a badge with, like, a little clip, so, like, they clip it to the feathers. But then imagine the porg keeps, like, pecking at its own badge and then, like, put it in its mouth, trying to eat it, realize it tastes gross, spit it out, see it on the ground, think it's food again, try to eat it.
Nothing would ever get done.
I don't think it, because here's the thing. If I'm that veteran cop and I'm just like, Santiago's inside, you go around back, I'm gonna take the frontal assault. Together we'll surprise him and we'll take him down, and we'll take him down once for all. And then I rush in. Santiago's got the drop on me, and I'm like, but you forgot one thing.
The porg has a gun!
my partner, Dr. Pepper! And then he just got to the porg outside of the balcony screaming at the sky because a cloud scared it.
And he's got a gun in his mouth, and he's holding it sideways like gangsters do when they do drive-bys. And he's biting down on the trigger, and he bites it, and it just starts flying. Bullets are everywhere.
Bullets start flying. Well, you know what? If bullets start flying everywhere, then Santiago and his goons panic.
Yeah.
And Officer Karowski, that's the name of the guy, he's five days away from retirement, he can roll to the ground, grab his backup piece from his ankle holster, shoot the two goons, and then go like, Santiago, this has been a long time coming. You killed my last partner, and now I'm going to kill you. And Santiago was like, you're supposed to be the good guys. You can't just kill me, execute me. I'm Montoya Santiago. And then Krakowski's got the gun on him and his hand is shaking. And he's like, is this the step? Is this the time when I go from crime stopper to criminal? And then he looks over at his partner, Dr. Pepper. And Dr. Pepper has those big eyes.
And he's scratching his underfluff.
Scratching his underfluff. And then Krakowski puts away his gun and cuffs Santiago and does it the right way. If there were porgs in our judicial system, sure, deliberation rooms would get absolutely ruined.
You'd have to make them out of hay.
You'd have to make them out of hay or rocks or something. Also, I mean, it would be really hard to tell, to take this to its logical extension, if Santiago goes into a courtroom where there's a porg judge. I don't know if that porg judge is going to... I don't know how we're going to know how that poor judge ruled.
Oh, man, if the judges are porgs and the cops are also porgs, I think we're going to never solve the police brutality problem either.
But some of the criminals should be porgs in this universe. You know what I mean?
No, because the porgs are sovereign citizens.
Wait, the porgs are what?
They're sovereign citizens. They're Article 4 sovereign citizens, which means they get all the protection of U.S. citizens without having to follow any of the laws. Look it up. You're getting sued. You're getting sued. Black Law's Dictionary defines a crime as there must be an injured party. Traffic violations are not inherently criminal acts. What's the other one? Yeah, I don't know. I need to get out my sovereign citizen bingo card.
Do you really have a sovereign citizen bingo card?
There's a YouTuber named like...
Okay, the answer is yes then. Yes. Oh, God. What's the YouTuber's name?
Donut Operator. He's a cop. So it's kind of like a little jab at himself.
That's funny.
He does this thing called Sovereign Citizen Bingo, where he's got a card. It's like taser, broken window, Article 4 free inhabitant, you're getting sued, you're going to lose your job, demands to call the chief of police, woman screaming.
Wow. Well, I'd like to think that if they were porgs on either side of the justice system, we wouldn't need that bingo card, but it sounds like they definitely needed to turn into nests and to eat, because I think they would probably eat paper bingo cards, because birds eat anything.
Yeah, birds will really eat anything. Anyway, this has been a very bizarre episode of Pork Chatter. If you like this poop cast, consider subscribing to our sponsor, Patreon.com/Stereos.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. You know, if you enjoy Pork Chatter or the Science Friction or any of the shows we do here at the Stereos Coconuts
Podcast Factory.
Podcast Factory! Wait, that's what we're going to call it! That's really good! if you go to Patreon.com/Stereos, you'll get early episodes, sometimes like 2 weeks early, because we make so many podcasts now that it's kind of like, okay.
Yeah, true.
Like, sometimes we'll just put them out and then we're like, oh, we forgot to put it out in this other thing. And you'll also get bonus episodes you can't hear anywhere else. I mean, Sriracha, I guess I'll just say thank you for having me on.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for being the guest.
Thank you.
Welcome. Follow me on Twitter at @deleteyouraccount, spelled stupid. I don't know what my Twitter name right now is right now. I change it on a weekly basis.
Isn't it like thought?
Oh, penny for your thoughts, spelled THOTS.
That's exactly right. It's no longer cancer.mov.
It was trying my best.wave for a little bit.
I did see that you are trying your best.
I really am. Trying to make quality content for you guys, but as we all know, I'm an Article 4 free inhabitant, which means that I don't technically have to follow any of these laws. I just choose to make everyone else feel safe.
Okay, well, I'm gonna...
This has been Pork Chair. Let's end with some ASMR of a fidget spinner that I have in my hands ready. We'll see you next time.
You're really fucking fun. You're so fun.
Can't wait to listen to that.
You listen to the boring book.
I always listen to it like the second.